We need you this morning, yes. Lord. Hallelujah. More than yesterday. Yes. But not as much as tomorrow. Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Stand in His presence for a moment and realize your need. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I believe the acknowledgement that we need you more today is the highest form of praise. There's not enough words and there's not enough time to describe your value, your beauty, your love. And so we sum it up as children of the living God. I need you more today than yesterday. I need you more than the breath that I breathe, Lord. I need you. The air that I breathe would be worth anything without you, Lord. You are the reason that I live. We stand before you today as a hungry and greedy people.
Yes.
More of you is what we ask for and what we demand according to the Word. We know we don't insult you by putting a demand on the Word. We say by your Spirit that you will minister and feed us today. You will give us the bread of life and the drink we need. And when we leave this place, as we've already declared, we will not be the same. We will hear from you. We will know you better. And your presence will change us. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Y'all may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All righty. Do we have children's church this morning? All right. Y'all be blessed. The children will be changed also. While they're going, if you will turn with me to the book of Genesis, we're going to be in part 6 of God's Will as a Trip. I've got 2 titles for you this morning. You can choose whichever one applies to you the most. The title is Life is Great When You're Out of Control. Our provision is in God's will. You choose which one you want. I know we have at least one more after this, unless God changes that, which He can do. All right, if you will, stand with me. Turn to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, this is the basis of our study. This is what we need most in our life, an attitude of a servant, even when we have the right to slaughter. An attitude of a servant. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 21. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" Let me read it the way I think it really should have said. "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God." Verse 20. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." The heart of the servant. I'm going to give up what I want to do for what God wants to do. Verse 21, "Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Y'all may be seated and let God's blessing be on this word as he opens it up further. Once again, a little repetition as a little study from past. We're studying and learning that God has a plan for His people.
Yes, yes.
How about you just say that out loud? God has a plan for me.
God has a plan for me.
Now, do you really believe that? Or are you just trying to make me happy?
Yeah.
God has a plan for me. He has a plan for His people, both corporately and individually.
Right.
And that our individual plan that has been revealed to us is for all, not for self.
Yes.
The second most important thing about this, whatever God wants to do with you, it's not for you. Will you benefit? Absolutely. That's not the point. Stop asking me those selfish questions. Do you understand you can't deal with God and lose?
That's right. That's right.
You can't do anything God wants and lose, no matter what you see or hear.
Amen.
All right. We also understand that God's plan comes with a requirement.
Yes, right.
And there's a requirement of an action on your part. Number one, you must have a full belief. Now, do you understand the word full belief? No hesitation. That it is God.
Amen.
The biggest enemy we have is when we think God has spoken to us, the enemy comes and tries to steal the confidence in that voice.
Yes.
Okay, number two, a knowing that if God said it, it'll happen.
Amen.
You don't read the word so that you can remember where it's at.
Right.
You read the word so that it gets in there and it assures you that God's serious about life.
Amen.
He means what he says.
Amen.
The biggest, most ridiculous fallacy on the face of our earth today is that people do not mean what they say. Oh yeah, I'll be there at 6, and they're there at 6:15. You didn't mean what you said. So now I don't have confidence in what you say. You're picking at little things. No, I'm not. No, it's not. You've got to be accurate about what you say, or people are not going to believe what you say.
Right.
You make a pledge to be somewhere, you be there.
Amen.
I don't care if some little fuzz crosses your path. You keep moving anyway.
Amen.
Number three, if God put it in us, He will carry it out.
Right.
Number four, it is His plan. He must make it happen.
Amen.
Because He means what He says.
That's right.
Number five, all we have to do is believe and obey. Right?
Yes, right.
All right. Every one of these, every time I read these to you, now I'm going to add one for each week. A, this is what we've already covered. The plan for God to use Joseph did not begin with Joseph. It began by placing and training all those before Joseph in the right place at the right time. If you don't have confidence that He can do that, you don't have confidence in the true God. B, you know what kind of confidence you have to have in God?
Absolute.
Which means that nothing is impossible.
That's right.
Which means He owns time.
That's right.
Which means He owns history. He can change history if He has to.
Amen.
Or He wants to. If He can stop the sun, which He has done in the past, He can do anything He wants to.
That's right.
B, there are specific preludes to our call. Joseph's father, Jacob, as an example. Jacob's name was changed. He was given a command and a vision also that introduces Joseph and his task and his future. Now let me remind you of something. This vision to Jacob was super real. How long did it stay super real? Let's see if you've been listening.
The whole time?
No.
No, it didn't. Not to Jacob. You know what happened to Jacob? The minute they came and said, your son is dead, he instantly received that his son was dead and started in another direction. That's how we lose the will of God and the plan of God in our life. We listen to other voices instead of God's. C, do not assume that because we know it is God, it'll be easy. It'll take total faith and determination to accomplish God's will. D, all God needs is a willing heart to change the world.
Yes, man.
Yes. We should be in competition with each other to see how willing we can be.
Amen.
E, there's always a provision to keep God's will alive, no matter how sure the enemy's plan is. Or there's always a Reuben.
That's right, yeah. Amen.
F, there's always a master's wife or a tempter to try to steal God's will and direction for your life. Flee, run, whatever it takes to stay true to God and His purpose.
Amen.
All right. Now we did a catch-up. Today, I need to remind you today that it seemed to all Joseph was totally in someone else's control. From the time he was an early teen till now, which is approaching 30 years old, he was never in control of his own life. He was always a slave to someone else. And even before an early teen, all he did is what his father told him to do. Can you all get this picture? Sometimes when you get to feeling sorry for yourself, and we all do, sometimes it's so bad others feel sorry for you, and they will once in a while, great while, but you're so out of control. These things just seem to keep happening. Every time I turn around, they just keep happening because you're out of control, right?
No.
Not to a Christian. Everything's just exactly the way it should be.
Amen.
So now, as we approach this message today, after about 15 years of slavery, and this is what you need to remember, after about 15 years of slavery, Joseph is still at peace.
Amen.
He's at total peace. Now, the out of control is how we would have judged it. But Joseph knew something that we have a difficult time knowing. That he was totally in God's will. Therefore, he was totally in God's provision. Now, I imagine he could say once in a while, I don't feel like I'm in God's provision. But he wouldn't even go that far. He's very careful with his tongue, and especially with his complaining. Turn with me to Genesis 39. Genesis chapter 39, and we'll do some catch-up today. I can't afford to read all of it. I'll read portions. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. This is to show you where Joseph was. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Do you understand this sounds like an oxymoron? It sounds like extreme opposites. He was sold. He belonged to the Egyptian, which was, that's as far away from God as you can get back then. And so he was totally owned and operated. But the scripture says the Lord is with Joseph and he's a successful man.
Right.
Now, please, I'm trying my best to get you in some shoes where you can. The only way to ever look at the Bible is to become part of the story. You can never understand the Bible unless it becomes real to you. And the best way for it to be real for you is you to stand where Joseph was, look at Joseph, look at the Egyptian that owned him and bossed him around, and then understand that scripture says that God was with Joseph and he was a successful man. Now, why that position? Because now you've got to swallow it because you know the truth. Your lying eyes never tell you the truth. Not if you believe God's in control. Not one thing that's ever happened in your life. If you believe God's in control, nothing's ever bad happened in your life. A poignant pause. I wish we could learn that because it would sure take away a lot of our conversation. You'd have nothing to talk about if nothing ever bad happened in your life. If you believe there's a God, if you believe He's in control of your life, nothing bad has ever happened. Drop to verse 20. Genesis 39, verse 20. A second time. Then Joseph's master. See, there was a guy on the earth that thought he was in control of Joseph. Y'all need to grin sometime when somebody thinks they're in control of you. Just grin. Just make them wonder what you're smiling about. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. What happened here? The keeper of the prison got the eyesight of God. He didn't ask for it, but he got it. Right? So the keeper of the prison had no choice but to look at Joseph with favor. Now, where are you? You guys need to get a little proud in you sometime to understand that no matter what anybody thinks, they're only going to do what God tells them to do concerning me.
Amen.
I've got favor.
Amen.
Right, Bill Franz?
Right.
Amen. Sometimes we have a hard time separating facts. We operate on the premise, if I am not happy in my will, it cannot be God. Somewhere in the scripture it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Amen.
Does that sound like always being happy?
No, sir.
I can be happy in here when it looks terrible.
That's right.
But it takes peace.
Yes.
Happy can only follow peace. Happy cannot be an entity unto itself. Laughter can be an entity in itself, and it does not designate peace.
That's right.
Sometimes it shows just the opposite. the only true peace and the only true happiness is when we have no direction. I'm going to hit those lists from another direction now. The only true peace and happiness is when we have no direction and God is doing all the moving. We are at peace knowing God is in control and I am out of control. Do you know what kind of blame I can receive if I don't have any control? None. Look at there. Simplest formula in the world. If I don't take responsibility for my life, understand what I'm talking about here, then I don't have anything to answer for. Doesn't take away my responsibility to curb the tongue, believe God, read the Word, trust. These are the things that I have to do. But I don't have to be responsible for my direction. I don't even have to be responsible. Let me tell you something. Whoop, I like this one. I don't even have to be responsible for what I say up here. I didn't ask to be here. God told me I had to. Now it's all His fault. Come on. Huh? And you know what? That's right. And now that's where the Scripture says we can give God praise in all things. I can give God praise when I don't want to be here. I can give God praise for when I want to say something and I'm held back. All right, let's turn to Genesis chapter 40. And let's read some Scripture. Let's watch God in action. Here's what we need to do now. I've rolled in the leader. This is a movie. I've rolled it in. I've showed you who was starring. Told you the general direction. And now we're going to say to God, action. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Genesis 40, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things, that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Okay? And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined, they thought. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And he served them. Who served them? Joseph served them. He was the head, but he was the head server. So they were in custody for a while. We don't know what that means, but that just means not overnight. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw they were sad. Now you got this picture? They're in prison. Nobody's enjoying this. And Joseph walks in and looks at those prisoners that he's over and said, "What's wrong? You don't look good. You look sad." Now, is this the way a prison ruler is supposed to act?
Nope.
Because he was a servant, right?
Right.
He was still a servant. Another strong picture I need to show you. We're going on nearly 15 years in some form of prison, and he's still got a good attitude. Still cares about someone else.
Amen.
Not sitting there pouting and complaining about where he is.
Right.
God give us more of that.
Yeah.
Verse 7. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream and there's no interpreter of it." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" You know what he didn't say? "I can do it." Because he wasn't full of I.
Right.
"Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." He's the boss, and he says, "Tell them to me, please."
Yeah.
Verse 9, then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. Drop down to 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. Now listen to me. He told him about a series of events. Joseph said something that said, in a little bit you're going to be free. And you're going to be back on your job. Now can anybody agree with a positive interpretation of a dream? That's pretty easy, right? It's also pretty easy to give a positive interpretation of a dream when you know you're going to get applauded for it.
Right.
Now let's go to the rest of the ministry. Genesis 40, verse 12. And Joseph said to them, this is the interpretation of it, after both of them had said, the three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you'll be back in the former manner. But remember me, verse 14. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. So now we see that he was always, he never got satisfied with being a slave. Come on, bring it down to your house now. I don't care if it's not the greatest situation. You're always praising God, but you don't have to enjoy right where you are. You just have to be at peace.
That's right.
And you have to be smart enough to say, I'm believing I'm out of here.
Man.
How come he could say this? Because the previous experience, what got him in this prison was, do you remember? The scripture that said he was serving his master, he was blessing his Egyptian master for Joseph's sake.
Right.
You remember the scripture? He remembers that. He remembers that, if, I don't care if somebody else is getting blessed, I'm getting blessed too. Okay. Verse 15, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I was also in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. Let's just skip down to 20 because this was the bad one. Well, go to 19. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now, let me go ahead and finish. Now, it came to pass on the third day, when the Pharaoh's birthday, that he made feast for all of his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among the servants. That means he took them out of jail.
Right.
Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now you need to understand something here. If you're ever, ever, ever going to be able to minister to anybody else, you got to be able to give and get the good with the bad.
That's right.
Everybody, it's amazing to me. I can get up here and I could prophesy over you, and as long as it was good, all of y'all would just love me to death. But the minute I gave a prophecy or a statement that you didn't like, all of a sudden you become spiritually high and you come to correct me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me. Talk to God.
Amen.
If you really believe He's in charge of everything, He will listen to you. Right. I won't.
Amen.
I'm responsible for doing what God wants me to do. You're responsible for doing what God wants you to do. Let's leave it at that. If God tells you to speak to me and drop it.
Yeah.
Let God do the work. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to deliver whatever message God wants me to deliver, and then I'm going to drop it and forget it because I'm not in charge of it anyway. Right? Okay, let's both stand innocent. Now, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. I got a little caption here. I can feel the heart of Joseph. This is what came out of Joseph's heart. Will God ever do anything? You know why? Because that's humanity. I don't care if He changes the entire world for us yesterday. We forget it today.
Yes.
So now we go to Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. And I'll show you how long. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. For y'all that are always impatient, 2 full years. After 13 already long years. So why don't we just say after 15 years. Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat. And they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly, gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly seven heads of grain come up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. How come? The dreams were from God. And no enemy can understand the things of God. Please listen to me again. No enemy that you've ever faced can understand the things of God. So when the world wants to tell you what to do, don't listen. You're wasting your time. They don't understand where you're at. They don't understand who you talk to. If you talk to God, they have no idea what He would say. Verse 9. Then the chief butler... Then the chief butler. Now, here we're going to understand why the butler was saved. Remember I said that God's will involves many people before and later? You're not the center of God's attention. His will is the center of His attention. And He'll do whatever it takes to make it happen. All right. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. Oh, I screwed up. I remember something. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each dreamed a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. And there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Now listen, this had to be a dream that was eating Pharaoh up. You want me to tell you why? Because Egyptians don't talk to Hebrews. You understand that? The hierarchy doesn't associate with the lowarchy. My own English. Verse 14. This is how come I think the thing was eating him alive. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. Where was Joseph? See, he wasn't even in the good part of the prison. And he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. A little hint for those of you that think coming to God, you can dress any way you want to and look any way you want to. You need to learn that God really likes you to be. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It was eating Pharaoh alive. Who was? The Holy Spirit was.
Amen.
He didn't let this just be a dream. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. He could have blown his only chance right here. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
He could have blown his only chance by saying, it is not in me. But he had to be honest before everybody. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Do you remember the scripture that talks about the peace that you have? That you can walk into a household, bring your peace, and if they don't accept you and the words that you have, turn around and take your peace with you. And leave. Peace is the only thing that matters. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You got that? All right. Let's jump down to verse 25. I got another caption that I can feel from a human heart. Will God get it right this time? I would like to be in your corner in the quiet time sometime when something drops on your foot and hear you say that. That's humanity. Don't deny humanity. It comes out of us once in a while. Just deny the reality of it. Just understand it's worthless. It's going to come out of us once in a while, and then we judge. You understand that God says that you will judge angels? Or you should be able to, if you handle things right. Well, when are you going to start judging you? Because you ain't no angel. You need to learn when you say something wrong. You need to learn when you think something wrong. And you judge that statement. You take every thought into captivity. You throw some into the dungeon, and you release some in the form of faith. All right. Genesis 41, verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do." Ooh, this is bold. This is the king of the world. This is the guy that holds your dog chain. And he boldly says, God is showing you what you are about to do. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say God willing. He didn't say if the creek don't rise. He said, this is what you're about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one, and the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. Now, he didn't say, unless you do it right. He said, this is what's going to happen. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Did you catch the key in that verse? All right, two keys. Twice. The dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice. Let everything be established out of the mouth of two. See, if you can understand, if you'll tie the Bible together, it is just one statement. It duplicates itself a lot, but it never argues with itself. Let's go on. The thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. What? Both. The plenty and the famine. God's going to bring the plenty and the famine about. Why? Because he had a position that he had to fill. God had a position that he had to fill with Joseph. Right. And the only way you get this position filled is to bring about plenty and famine. Yeah, we lose fact of the, we lose reality sometimes. God is in control.
Yeah,
doesn't make any difference what we see. Well, I worry about Israel. God's in control. Well, what about Iran? God's in control. He doesn't need your help in worrying. He doesn't even need your advice.
That's right.
That's why I keep telling you, don't pray with advice. He doesn't need any. Don't call up God and tell him what you think. He doesn't need it. He's already thought it through. And yours would only be an interference. Verse 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Do you think that Joseph might have wanted to written on his forehead, wise man? The reason I'm saying that is because most of us want to promote ourselves. Most of us want to tell somebody else how great we are. And we put our hands on what should be pure from God. And we foul it up. We lose many positions. We lose many opportunities because we begin to sell ourselves. Here's what he said. Now therefore let Pharaoh select the discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Then he took his hands off and said, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. Where do you think Joseph came up with a formula that 1/5 tithe would take him through 7 years? Had to be God, didn't it?
Amen.
Formula's not right. Well, that means it's God.
Amen.
If your math doesn't add up, a lot of times it's God. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land of the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during famine. Verse 37. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God." Oh, y'all didn't get this one. You see that right now. Pharaoh didn't believe in God.
Right.
Pharaoh served 100 gods.
Right.
1,000 gods. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't believe in it. None of them had a spirit.
Right.
They were blocks and horses and all kinds of weird suns and... You know what I'm saying? They were just nonsense. Now we see the fiery furnace here. We see a man that doesn't know anything about God, doesn't know anything about the Spirit of God, saying, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" I'll ask you again. Can God do all things?
Yes.
Can He make a blind man see?
Yes.
He did here, did He?
Yes.
Did He not? And Joseph wanted so bad to say, "I knew you were going to say that." Come on, don't you think God gave him a little extra information than just about the plenty and the famine?
Yeah.
And Pharaoh tried to change Joseph's name. And I'm not a... It's a hard name. I looked it up. I'm just going to tell you what it means was treasure of plenty. And he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of this guy, priest of On. So Joseph went all over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh was at least this smart. He ran into the reality of this. "I don't know about Egyptian and Hebrew, but I want some of that guy in my land." So he gave them a wife. So he would produce Egyptian Hebrew children. Hopefully with the wisdom of Joseph. Come on. God can give a dumb man a little wisdom. Called animal husbandry. I like this bloodline. I want a little bit more in my country. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. You know why? To take authority. He went with the jewelry, with the mark that Pharaoh had given him, with the orders saying everybody. In one place in the scripture, Pharaoh says this: "There's only one man higher than Joseph, and that's me. And this whole country will do what this man says." That's what the scripture says. So what did Joseph do? To get control, he went to every city and every land in the place of Egypt and showed them the jewelry, the stamp, and the decree. So there wouldn't be any mistakes when it came time to obey. That's called knowing who you are. I bet you a dollar he ran into this Hebrew, ran into a few people that said, "Who do you think you are?" "I'll show you who I am." Did I skip? I think I'll skip. Let me show you why. Verse 44. "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Put a gold chain around his neck. Put him in fine linen. Gave him a chariot." Look at this, 43. "And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, 'Bow the knee.'" Had Joseph bowed his knee for 15 years. And now the country is bowing his knee. Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning, as wise as you. Isn't that cool? 44, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, Joseph, no man may lift his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. You know what this is called today? Martial law. An emergency was declared. Listen to this. In 7 years of prosperity, before it even started, martial law, an emergency was declared. And Pharaoh said, everybody will do what he says, and you won't lift your hand or your foot without his permission. That's martial law. That's taking away everybody's individual rights for the good of the group. Verse 47, now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. Have we read in numerous occasions already that everything that Joseph touched prospered?
Yes.
He touched the land.
Yes.
And for 7 years, the land was abundant. Now I've got another caption here that says, Joseph remains a servant. Most of the reason that God cannot use us like he'd like is a thing called big head. He already sees down the road that the minute I get total control and I have no need of anything and I rule over people, I'll become worthless as a servant. Because now all I'll ask is people to serve me. Therefore, I'm not a servant of God. I become God. 48. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years. He gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields, which surrounded them. It nearly sounds like he gathered up more than one-fifth when he says all of it. 49. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea. Anybody ever try to count the sand on one beach? I've laid on beach before and look at that. And remember that God says the sand of the sea. Not the beach, the sea. Until he stopped counting, for it was without number. The amount of grain that he stored up could not be counted. And to Joseph, look at this, were born two sons before the years of famine came. Now, we get an inkling here that there were several years before anything happened. Then there were several years went by that he didn't have children. And now a couple of years before the famine, he has children. Okay? Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. You ever heard that name before? This is half Hebrew and half Egyptian that I promise you went on to do works for God. Manasseh. The name meaning, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. In other words, all the time in prison as a slave or anything else, he was so thankful for what God was doing that he named his child, and the child's name meant, forget it. Forget all the slavery. Forget all the prison. Doesn't amount to anything. And the second part of that is, and I forgot all of my father's house. Why? So he could say what he needed to say in chapter 50. Because if all he could do was remember what they did to him, he could have never forgiven them. That his desire to please God was stronger than his desire to get even. So I give it up. It's not there anymore. Verse 52. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, another God branch. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I don't remember. I forgive. I prosper. What God meant, I mean, what the enemy meant for bad, God turned to good. That was the name of this child. 53. We just might finish a little early today. I prophesied wrong. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come. as Joseph had said. The famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Please listen to me. Why was there bread in the land of Egypt? Because God loved Egypt? Because God loved Joseph, his servant. He blessed Egypt for Joseph. Right? Do you want a blessing on anybody? Would you like to see anybody or anything blessed? Well, then how much of a servant are you to that? So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Oh, y'all didn't get that. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then the Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. Whatever he says, you do. Now, wait a minute. Who's in charge of this country? Really? How could, you know, it's kind of perplexing because the leader of the world says, go ask him, and whatever he says, you do. So now who's in charge of the country? Now, here's the key. If Joseph is a true servant to God, who's in charge of the country?
God.
Did God's plan work?
Yes.
So, we're servants for what purpose? That's right, for God. I don't care, it looks like you're serving for God. For his kingdom. The famine was over all the face of the earth. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
All the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. Well, that's not very Christian. Well, everybody's got a pinion in an armpit. Most stink. Joseph did what God told him to do.
Right.
Despite the fact that most of those Egyptians said to him, hey, we put it in there. We shouldn't have to pay to get it out. Let me remind you of something. God's plan does not have to make sense to you. In fact, if it does, it's probably not God's will. Because his thoughts are than ours. Higher than ours. You know what that means? You'll never understand.
Right.
It doesn't mean one day you'll understand his thoughts. That doesn't mean one day you won't be able to see what he's done. That's not what I'm saying. But his thinking processes, his thought processes, his plans, we will never understand. We will just obey.
Amen.
Now, anybody in here that thinks I'm teaching mindless people mindless things, you're wrong. Because then you'd be calling me mindless. And you and I are going to have a talk. I think God has given me a mind and he wants me to use it.
Amen.
But the final thought that I have is God's in control.
Yes.
And I don't have to understand everything except God's under control. Now, if I can understand this, that God's under control, I've just understood everything. Oh, now, Gene, you didn't get that, did you? Or you got mad at me?
No.
Well, you looked over there. I wasn't too sure where you went. I'm going to say it to you all again. If I can say God's under control. See, we're talking about the difference between wisdom and understanding. If I can understand that God's under control, I have all understanding.
Amen.
I don't have to figure anything else out.
Amen.
The rest is going to come from the presence of God. What the rest? My wisdom, the things that I put two to two together and make four, it's going to come from God, not from a mathematician.
Amen.
My goodness, don't trust the scientists, don't trust the mathematician. They're trying to push the theory of evolution.
Right.
Not one ounce of proof anywhere, and they're trying to believe it. So don't go there. Just understand God's in control.
Amen.
Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end, nothing's in between except God.
Amen.
Where are you going, Stan? Don't know. One day, I'll know, and then I won't know the next place I go. Because I'm out of control.
Amen.
I am out of control. Some of y'all would say amen.
Amen.
But I want to be more out of control.
Amen.
The highest goal that I have is to not worry about anything. The biggest fight that I have is y'all. Y'all want me to worry about things. My wife begins there. She's not real happy unless I'm worried about something. Planning something. Designing. What would happen if we just learned to show up?
Amen.
Just show up. You don't understand. The messages that I preach come from me just showing up. They don't come from my plan. Do you remember months ago when I announced to you that we were going to do a series and I told you the titles? Where do you think that came from? You think I've already planned? You know what I do on Sunday morning when I get ready? I go back and look at that. Well, God, what are we doing today? Let me look at the thing that you gave me then. Oh, yeah, that's what we're going to do today. That's what I did this morning. He changed the title a little bit, but it's still the same thing.
Amen.
Just show up.
Amen.
Y'all should be getting excited about this.
Because
this doesn't take any brain power on your part.
Right.
And it doesn't take any responsibility or blame on your part.
Right.
You just show up. Why would I do that? Because you already know that God's under control. He's in control of you. And you know the thoughts He has for you. Jeremiah 29:11. You know the thoughts He has for you.
Right.
Therefore good. Therefore a future.
Yeah.
Well, I need to worry about that, don't I?
No.
So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all the lands. Are you hearing this? All of the countries came to Joseph. We're out of Egypt now. Do you think that Joseph is out of Egypt now, Harry? He's not in the prison anymore, but that's not even the end of it. He's not even in Egypt anymore. He's touching the entire earth. How long did it take? Do you understand his entire world changed in 24 hours? How many times have you heard me say that? That God can change your entire world in 24 hours? He was in a dungeon. He shaved, changed clothes, and he was in the presence of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was telling him, I've never met a man as smart as you. 24 hours. One day. But you don't know how long. Hush your mouth. 15 years. Now, what happened in that 15 years? He was always ministering. He just wasn't ministering quite as high as God had planned yet. He had to have the training. He had to have that dungeon position. He had to be there. Or he could have never understood what a servant is supposed to understand.
Amen.
Count it all joy.
Right.
We sat down with a preacher one time. It's been several years back. And he said, tell me something about the history of the church. Well, the history of the church, I can tell you from my perspective. I can't tell him from yours. But I can tell you all the crazy things that have happened. And that's usually what pops on your head. Because you still have questions about them. And we got through and he said, I have never in my life heard anybody that has gone through what you guys are going through. Are you trying to make me feel good? Is that your ministry? He said, God must have something tremendous for you all to do. See, there's a man thinking like God would think.
Yeah, right.
If you can see the life of Joseph, you can see those people that have gone through the valley of the shadow of death. You can see where they come out. See, it's easy to look backwards, right?
Yeah.
Then you must, when you look backwards, you're looking forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Tell me where you've been. I'll tell you where you're going. How many years have I said that? Sit down and tell me where you've been, and I'll tell you where you're going. If it's all been gravy, you're not going anywhere. You don't have a thing to do. Just get in your easy chair and enjoy life if you've never had it rough. You know why my history's like it is? so that I can accomplish what God wants me to do.
Amen.
And I can do it with great, great assurance.
Yes.
Amen. Why was I raised on a farm? Why did some of the farmland we have, you walk out and it was so thick you couldn't walk through it? You couldn't see farmland, and yet the thing you start is to clear the land so you can grow the crop. You can see something that nobody else can see. You see a harvest machine running through trees and brush and thorns and prickly pears. Nobelitos. It's the name of the ranch down there. Y'all don't know that. That means little prickly pear. And we're growing jalapenos and cotton and tomatoes and onions and anything you can imagine. Why? Because God put my dad out in the middle of a field where he could get lost. Had to climb a windmill so he could find his way out. And he was seeing, I got something prepared here. God says, I see it. You don't have to. You just do what I tell you to do.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, Stan, why did you get burned up? Why were you fried crispy critter? And why did God heal you in 10 days? Boom, no pain. Prettier now than I was then. Now, that's serious. I had the goofiest hair you ever saw. God replaced it with pretty wavy hair. I got to cut it short so it don't wave all over. Had a tremendous acne problem. God burned that off and replaced it with nice skin. No pain. None of the prophecy of the doctors worked, but God's prophecy did.
Amen.
Why? So I can teach you faith.
Yeah.
If I teach you faith without experience, I'm a liar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a false teacher. I happen to know that anything is possible with God. I'm trying to help you understand that.
Amen.
See, my teaching you is not going to help me at all. I'm already there. I don't care. I'm telling you now. It helps me. My teaching, God speaking through me here, just encourages me like crazy.
Amen.
If it don't encourage you, you need a new encourager. Trade it in. Trade it in. I happen to know that in 24 hours, in 24 hours, I'm looking at your faces. Shall I just dig into your faces? In 24 hours, what can happen to you? I already warned you. I told you, you wanted sight instantly. You remember what I told you? What would happen if you got it instantly? His life would come undone. And you know what's been happening ever since I said that to him? Preparation. Preparation. Encouragement. It just encourages me to no end to see what God does in you in preparation for the miracle that's to come.
Amen.
He'll be ready when God's ready.
Yep.
There's some things in Bill Frantz's life. He didn't even know what's going to happen. But he's beginning to see a glimpse of encouragement, of strength. He doesn't even understand. Told me the other night, I don't know why I'm walking in such great favor. No, you don't have to know. God knows. You just needed to understand that He liked you.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Isn't that what most of us need to understand? That God likes you?
Amen.
He's not a respecter of persons?
Right.
In 24 hours. If He can do it with Joseph, no. That's anti-faith. That's no faith. If He did it with Joseph, did He do it with Joseph?
Yes.
Is He a respecter of persons?
No.
Then what are you expecting? Same yesterday, today, and forever? No respect of persons. Your name doesn't have to be Joseph. You don't have to be a shepherd. You don't have to go to prison. Then what are you expecting? What are you expecting? Are you expecting to cripple around here for months and months and months while your husband is patient? Or are you intending to get up and do something? What's amen mean?
I'm going to get up and do
that. There you go. See, that's another thing. Sure of what you say and say it. God started me on this little campaign. Sometimes she thinks it's smart aleck, but she'll ask me something. I said what I said. If you didn't hear it the first time, you probably won't hear it the second. But I'm not changing my story. I said what I said. You know where that's coming from? The Spirit of God. He wants me to be that way. What are you believing for, Bill? Then you need to say what you need to say and then don't say anything else. To those that overcome are not ratchet jaws.
That's right.
Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that. Faith causes people to overcome.
Yes.
You say it to you as much as you need. You say it to others as much as God wills. But don't be a ratchet shot ricocheting off every wall around. You're wasting the air that God gave you. See, Joseph, how many times did you hear in this story so far that Joseph said, I had a dream? He learned quick not to ratchet jaw. He learned. Now he just says what God tells him to say to who he needs to say it to. Hallelujah. I got some questions for you. Number one, is God worth the wait?
Yes.
Is God's will worth the wait?
Yes.
Nearly too many W's. Is God's will worth the wait?
Yes.
All right. What's God's will? Don't say anything. You answer yourself. What's God's will for Chuck? And is it worth the wait?
Yes.
First, there has to be a knowledge of a will. Second, there has to be a determination that God's will is going to happen. And I'm going to wait. And I'm going to obey. Anybody else in here? Do I need to point at you? Do you understand what I've been trying to get you to understand? God has a will for you.
Yeah.
Do you know His will? Is it worth the wait?
Yeah.
Well, if it takes you from dungeon to ruling the world in 24 hours, I bet you it's worth the wait.
Yes, absolutely.
Number two, are you so important that you know better than God?
No.
Most of my life, in most churches, I've met a lot more Christians that were smarter than God than those that were servants of God. Most churches, if I was able to prophesy to you right now, forget this dream interpretation, I don't want to know your dreams, prophesy. Most of the time, you'd write me off. Because you would not believe what God, how high-minded God is towards you. That's taking that term and using it positively, isn't it? How high-minded God is towards you. Let me give you an example. How many opportunities and rights did Joseph have while he was in the dungeon to say this is not God's will? How many times did you have said it? This can't be God's will. I curse this in Jesus' name. Not real funny, is it? It's so serious, it's not real funny because we use the Lord's name in vain. We use it a lot of times to counteract God's will.
Yeah. Right.
Rather than being thankful in all things.
Amen.
Three, are you so wise that you believe your will should supersede God's plan?
No.
This word says I'm supposed to be rich. Now! We never say that, but that's what we always mean. Sure, it says, God's Word says you're supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Let's condense it. And if you already know God, you are.
That's right. Amen.
And if you don't know Him very well, you just want to be. Come on. Let that soak in just a little. Tanya one time, long time ago, not Tanya now, was just on a rampage and I said, you need to get saved. And she's a servant. I can't tell you how many times God pulled things out of me because of her. It set me free. I don't know if it did anything for you, but it set me free. Because all of a sudden the Spirit of God explained to me that those that are saved are not trying to be saved. Oh, that's simple. Y'all look at me, so what? I understood that. Then if we're rich, then why are we trying to be rich? And if I'm already healed, how come I'm trying to be healed? And if I'm already wise, why am I screaming all the time, make me wise? If I'm already saved, do you understand what I mean by saved? If I'm already saved into these things, why am I still crying out for them? Why don't I accept my lot or my walk with God as this? I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I am healthy, wealthy, and wise right now. It is only the tip of the iceberg of what's going to happen. I can say that by faith. But right now, I just can't hardly stand much more. Watch the enemy scream. Listen to him yell when you say things like that. Because now you're doing what you're really supposed to be, which is proclaiming your trust in God. Don't love him. Trust him. He'd much rather have you trust. Love, you can decide later. You want your trust right now. Four, an important question. Will you be at peace in the wait?
Yes.
Those that wait upon the Lord, what happens?
Renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary and walk and not be faint.
Then maybe why we don't have those things is that we're not waiting in peace. Maybe I lack the strength and the energy and the running ability because I'm so impatient.
Yeah.
Number five, will you kill the will with your will, complaining the entire time? I know we don't have this as an option, but I would like for the Bible to have given us dual scenarios with Joseph. This is what happens if Joseph complains. This is what happens if Joseph just serves at peace. We already have that one. What would have happened if he had just complained? What if he had pushed against walls that don't move? One of the things that I've always told my wife and those that have been around, nothing tires me more than pushing against things that don't move. You want to see me just get dead tired? Just fight and fight and fight against things that will not move. Well, if God's will is what I'm fighting against, maybe that's the reason it won't move. Maybe that's the reason I'm so tired. And maybe if I just know that God's will is already in effect in my life and I wait on the Lord, then I'll be strengthened and not weakened.
Amen.
So when I see myself in the dungeon, what am I supposed to do? Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I don't understand, but thank you for the dungeon.
Amen.
I don't want to stay here, God. You understand He knows that already, but you can say it out loud. I don't want to stay here, but I'll serve you no matter what. And I can look at somebody else that just came from the Pharaoh's palace and say, why are you so sad? What can I do for you today? Doesn't sound like any fun. Looks like every once in a while God let me complain. Get selfish and say, I ain't helping you. I'm not getting helped. Don't let humanity bite you. Give it all up to God. Right now. Right now. Gene, you worried about your future? Sure? Good. Then God doesn't have to worry about it. It's already done. You know how much work we cause for God? When we complain about our future and we worry about our future, He has to go around and showing us all these things to make sure we're still satisfied. We need to quit being crying babies and just start being men and women on meat. I'm getting tired of God having to burp me. How about y'all?
Amen.
And I don't want Him to ever have to change my diapers again.
Yes.
Just, I need to quit fighting. And I need to just relax in Him.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Why don't you stand with me? And when I ask you what I ask you, I'll give you an opportunity. All hearts clear. If not, we need to get down to some serious clearing. I told you about the farm. Walked out in that pasture full of mesquite and cactus and prickly pear. You couldn't even walk. Cat claws. Y'all ever seen a cat claw? Gee, whoa. And what you're seeing is ground that's producing fruit. Are you tired of ground that's not producing? Put that up there. This is how you do it. I don't care if you sing it. I don't care if you say it. I don't care if you just determine it in your heart. I need you more. I need you more. More than yesterday. Sing it, Bill. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Touch our hearts. Cause us to weep. Cause us to repent. By your Spirit, cause us to fall before you. What I want you to do today is get rid of your old life. That's what I feel like I need to do, is get saved from my old life. That means 1 minute ago beyond. I don't want anything to do with that life anymore. I want to be set free in that dungeon. I want to be set free to rule and reign with you. To rule and reign with you in Christ Jesus. I repent from the old ways, the worry, the fret, the ever doubting. And I say, my whole responsibility is I need you, Lord, just to trust you, Lord, more than yesterday. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you have screwed up. Just in case you don't know, you've screwed up. So what? Just trust Him more. Watch things get better. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Again, I feel like I need to say something to several individuals, but I'm going to say it to all of you. One of the things that Joseph never knew is what was coming next. And he was not prepared for what he had to do. Do you hear what I'm telling you? He was not prepared. He was not educated. He was not taught in the very next step that he had to take. He was not taught to be a slave. He was taught to be a ruler.
Yeah.
He was not taught to be sold and bought. He was taught to buy and sell.
Yes.
But he had to adapt. He never was taught to run a prison.
Yeah.
He never was taught to rule a master's house. He wasn't taught how to fight a master's wife or how to trust a Reuben. Now there's things they're pulling on some of you today. Some changes. You're not ready. You're not prepared. Who cares? Who cares? God is. God is. He's got the thing under control. You just don't have to become a slave. Don't make God make you a slave to get you where you need to be. How about that? Just start obeying now and maybe you won't have to be in the dungeon. I mean, just learn. Don't be afraid of the dungeon. I'm not saying that. But if we can go to point A, from point A to point B without 15 years of delay, that's the way it would be best. Right? I'll take courage. I'll take care. This is truth. You know, I've taught you truth this morning. Not based on what I wish and not based on what I want, but based on what I know the Word of God says. God's going to do some mighty changing, some mighty things. And we need not to be afraid, but we need to be looking forward to it. Do I know what I'm talking about? Never have, never will. My job's not to know what I'm talking about, it's just to talk. Based on the Word of God, then I know what I'm talking about. But not, I don't understand. I'm going to say it again. I don't think I've ever been quite so excited about and have to be quite so subdued about what I need to say to y'all. God's got some mighty things for you. Amen. Me too. I'm not trying to separate you from me. I'm just trying to keep it off of me. You don't want to hear me talk about me. Some mighty, mighty things. I don't think you understand. You can't see the way I see. You don't see the excitement that I see building in you guys. Sometimes you tell me, sometimes you don't, and I see it anyway. But nothing could be more exciting than the next move of God. That could be the only thing in the world that is exciting. Hallelujah. I'm looking for change. I'm excited about change. I'm looking for me and you. This may be the most ornery vessel that you've ever met. This one right here. I may say things in the screwiest ways in the world, but I'm telling you the truth. You don't understand. I wish you understood how valuable the truth was. Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. It doesn't say it'll set me free. It says it'll set you free. Don't look at the UPS man. Just take the package. Amen. Hallelujah. He can use any old jackass. And I volunteered. Praise the Lord. All righty. All hearts clear? All right, then let's seal this first with my priestly blessing over you. I know your hunger for that. May the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. Hallelujah. May He be gracious to you, show you His favor, and give you His peace, which is wealth. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you now to seal all of this in our hearts. Seal it in our hearts. I don't want to forget this mood. I don't want to forget this move. And I don't want to forget this word when I walk out of here. I prophesy that nothing will steal what you're doing in this family. Nothing can steal it. Your will be done. That's what we say. Seal it. Cause us by the Spirit. Cause us to remember it this week. The rest of our lives. Let your will go forth quickly. In reestablishing your kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Lord, just let me say now, but we'll be patient. Hallelujah. To you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. Let our works cause you to rule the entire earth. We ask you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.